How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 135 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder. Subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review once you're on that page. Also, find us on audioboom.com as well and log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. The Thunder lost on Sunday, 107-91 in Cleveland. They play Tuesday night in San Antonio, recording this one late Monday afternoon, and I've got a guest, a wonderful guest, tying Royce Young now, I think, for most appearances in show history, and in undefined times more appearances than Jerry Ramsey is John Hamm.
This is a riveting race between me and Royce, and then Jerry just can't even get off the starting block.
The rivalry between you and Royce is like, okay, so the rivalry between you and Royce is like 2003-2004 era Yankees Red Sox. And the rivalry between you and Jerry is like, 1919 through 2002 Yankees Red Sox.
I like that.
That's pretty much what it is. Because Jerry's just getting killed in this one.
Yeah, he is.
He's just getting crushed. So John is Down to Dunk podcast. He is on 107.7 The Franchise, as I am. He is host of the NBA Insider Show. Why don't we just plug right away the NBA Insider Show, because this is like becoming a thing now on The Franchise, and I think you should tell the masses about it, because I imagine there's overlap in our listenership. And if there's not overlap, I imagine there are people who listen to my podcast who'd be like, oh, that's totally a thing I would listen to.
Yeah, so this is a Saturday morning show that the aforementioned Jerry Ramsey and I, that we do each week. It's usually from 10 to 11 Central Standard. Sometimes we shift that a little bit. For example, last Saturday we were on from 10:30 to 12:30. Leading up to an OU basketball game pregame show. So, we had the basketball show, you know, for a while, but then, you know, Jerry kind of rebranded it. And I think it makes more sense. For example, last week, we had Jabari Young from the San Antonio Express News, came on and chatted with us. It was an excellent segment. We've had Anthony Slater come on and talk about obviously the Warriors and, you know, some other things and some other fun stuff too. So that's kind of the idea. We're hoping that each week we can get someone, you know, a beat writer or someone that covers another team that the Thunder are going to play, bring them on and get some insight and just have fun with it.
Yeah, and you guys are ridiculous people.
We're very ridiculous.
I feel very comfortable calling you ridiculous people.
And I'm not arguing that. I can't. I absolutely can't.
Yeah, and I get like a minute on that show. You guys,
yes,
get
you
59 of them. I get 1 minute. But it's honestly, my minute is so boring, and then Jerry makes it so entertaining because he produces it and puts in hilarious drops.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm not entirely sure about last week, but each week we do try to get that up as a podcast. You're Fred Katz. Is it breaking down the stats? I forget how.
Jerry's been calling it Funky Katz Analytics.
There we go.
Which is, yeah, I'll be honest, a little bit of a mouthful.
Well, yeah, that's not unusual. So, but
we need to make sure to tell him, like,
we need to make sure that he's like very aware of the fact that you came on again and that he's never been on the pod.
Oh, no doubt. I'm texting him right now about it. So, yeah,
he's good.
Well,
good.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure of it. You want to talk about the Thunder?
Yeah.
So they're a basketball team.
Professional basketball team.
A professional one. One of 30 that is in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're now 28-20. This is a topic that I've had with a lot of people. So they're 28-20. San Antonio, by the time this goes up, I could say San Antonio tonight because this is going to go up Tuesday morning. Even if they lose that game, that's the cap out January. Even if they lose that game to cap out January, finish 28-21, that would make them 7-8 in January. Obviously, 15 games, 12 on the road. How would you evaluate that month?
I had them at 6-9. So before the month, I sat down on one of the Down to Dunk podcasts with Andrew Schlecht, and we went down game by game and just kind of, you know, took a wild stab, you know, what seemed reasonable, what teams that the Thunder would beat, which ones they would lose to. And I came up with a 6-9 record. And for the most part, I was on spot. I had them winning at Milwaukee. That didn't happen. But then they made that up with a home win versus Memphis, which was a really good win. I didn't think they were going to win at Sacramento, and they did, but then they lost at Minnesota. So, and then along in there as well, that win at Utah was one that I was not anticipating. So considering my expectations of 6-9, if they finish 7-8, gravy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I kind of thought, look, from a playoff perspective, I just kind of thought if they leave January with 26 wins, they're good. Like if they're 26 yeah. and 23, they're good. They're
no
going
to
be at worst 28-21.
Yeah.
And that race for the eighth seed is garbage in the Western Conference.
It is a mess. And, you know, too, I know that there was a lot of doomsdayers. I don't know if you noticed this, Fred, but there's a lot of people that are like gloom and doom on Twitter.
Nope.
Yeah, you may not see it.
It's I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you have to get a magnifying glass. It's really difficult to find. There were some people that were expecting a 3 or 4 win month from the Thunder. So, you know, to come out of that with 7, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I actually had them at -2 and 17 in the month.
So close.
Yeah, really, really close. 3 was a little bit extreme. I had them, I think, at 7-8. But I thought 7-8 would be a perfectly fine scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had them at 7-8, but I think I said that before they had like a couple of big wins before then. Like I didn't have them like winning at Boston, and I didn't have them winning another game that was a little bit earlier, because it's not just 12 out of 15. That's part of a larger stretch, which goes back to like December 20th, where they play 16 out of 21 on the road. That's another thing I want to talk about. 16 out of 21 on the road. And Andre Robertson's home road splits have always been, in terms of his shooting, they've always been totally off. He's always been significantly better of a shooter at home than he is on the road. And that's not unusual. Role players tend to be way worse on the road than at home. That's not really anything shocking. It's not a revelation. But so this is a 16 out of 21 stretch. It's going to conclude after this. They've done 15 out of 20 now. So in this 20-game stretch, do you know what Robertson is shooting from 3?
Let's hear it.
17%.
Yep.
How much of a problem is that?
I think it's a bit of an issue. And since you brought that up, I want to rewind a little bit. If you go back to 2014-15, this is the bewildering thing. Robertson shot 7.5% from 3 at home and 40% on the road.
But how many threes did he take?
Let me see. I don't know if it's got the totals here or not. I remember this being a topic at the time. No, I don't think it has. I don't think this page has the totals.
Checking this one out. You're going to hear some typing sounds. This is the beauty of live podcasting. This is what happens when I don't outline before, and I'm just like, "Hey, John, let's podcast right now." And you're like, "I'm free now." Yeah, so
I think the Thunder's overall lack of 3-point shooting is a problem, you know, and obviously Robertson's not helping matters.
So you said 2013-14 or 14-15 you're talking about?
14-15.
Okay, so he did take 1.3 three-pointers a game that year, so it's not a completely illegitimate amount. And you're looking at splits?
I'm looking at splits. Yeah, home versus road.
All right. So, wow, he was 3 for – I didn't realize this. He was 3 for 40 at home that year, and he was 18 for 45 on the road.
That was completely bewildering.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is a weird thing. I wasn't – in my defense, I wasn't covering the team that year.
Yeah, exactly. I only know that because, like I said, we talked about it a lot at the time, just how bizarre that was. And granted, that was 14-15. That was the Plagues of Egypt season where literally every player got hurt pretty much at the same time. So, you know, weird things happen, but still, that was strange. However, to your point, I think that's kind of corrected itself.
Yes, because the last couple of years, 2-3 years, he's gone the other way. He's a lot more extreme. Anyway, let's get back to the actual point at hand. Because, so the Thunder starting lineup, Victor Oladipo is doing great on catch and shoots this year. Mm-hmm. His percentages are in the 40s on catch and shoot jumpers. From the corner, I think he's shooting 51.5%. Or at least, maybe that was what he was shooting going into the Cleveland game. Either way, he's shooting an excellent percentage on corner threes. I said in the podcast, I think it was yesterday, he can't take a corner three that's a bad shot. I can't envision a corner three that Victor Oladipo would take where I'd be like, that's not a good shot, considering the percentage that he's shooting and how good he is at that shot. Catch and shoot specifically, he's shooting great. Now, obviously, a lot of those are from the corner, so that props it up. But he's having a good shooting season. He's shooting really well on long twos, especially lately. He's really brought his percentage up. As a shooter, he's having a really good season. And I think defenders are starting to respect that. I think they're starting to close out on him, help off of him a little bit less when they play teams a second time. I think that's something that we're starting to see, which is good. That's going to help. That's going to help the Thunder offense. Sabonis has not been making shots lately, and guys don't really guard him. It's not because anybody's changed the way that they defend him. He's just not making those shots. He's just missing open shots he was making earlier in the year. And Robertson, you know, is basically the same as always, but now he's not hitting down those shots when guys give them to him. Now, of course, that's probably the home road thing. It's probably the home road thing. It's not like he's a great shooter or anything at home. But I just wonder, like, when you have two guys in your starting lineup who hang around the perimeter but don't get guarded, and then there's Steven Adams on top of that, like, it's just really looking like teams aren't giving Russell Westbrook space at all at this point. Like, Cleveland was giving him no space down low.
Yeah, and I forgot the stat that I looked at was Sabonis, and this doesn't include maybe the last game or the game before, but he had that explosion at Boston. And ever since then, I think he was hitting 14% from three. So, like I say, you know, that's a problem. And this team is the second worst three point shooting team in the league. So they are desperately trying to beat out Chicago for that last spot. So it's a bit of a problem. You still look, yes, they're 28-20. They are getting some success in spite of that. But I just keep thinking, and I'm not going back to, well, what if they had a 7-footer that could hit from 3-point range? No, like, what if they actually had like one or two guys that could hit from a respectable rate, you know, from there, because they're getting the looks, they're getting generated.
Right. That's the thing that I will say. When you say second worst 3-point shooting team in the league, I do think it's important to differentiate that we're talking about 3-point percentage, because three point attempts mean something. Like the number of three-point attempts you're getting. Like Chicago, the reason that Chicago is definitively the worst is not because they shoot the worst percentage. That obviously helps in making that argument. But it's because I think they're also last in three-point attempts too.
They are.
Like they can't even get off attempts, and they're still missing all of these shots. With the Thunder, at least they're middle of the pack right now in three-point attempts. So at least, and a lot of that is just because of Russell Westbrook, and a lot of that is because, like, hey, if Sabonis is wide open, he's got to shoot, you know?
Yes.
Robertson's wide open, he's got to shoot. And you know, Russ puts up a lot of threes off the dribble and that kind of stuff too. So it's not like they take an exorbitant amount, but I think they take enough to keep the defense honest to where we can say, I don't think they're necessarily the second worst three-point shooting team in the NBA. They're bottom 10. No question. Maybe, I haven't done out the list. Maybe they're bottom five. They're probably bottom five. I don't know if necessarily second worst in the league by percentage means they're second worst overall, though. I do think that's important to just differentiate between those two things. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. But yeah, also, too, I mean, I watched the game, and like you say, those shots, they're created. Like a lot of, you know, guys get, they get the opportunities, and it's just not falling. Now, some of that, I think, is kind of the ebb and flow of an NBA season. You know, like, for example, I'm hearing the cries again for Anthony Morrow, and I remember back in that 14-15 season, he had a month where it seems like he couldn't hit anything, and then he caught fire. So maybe this will turn around, especially with the February schedule, and maybe we'll be talking about this in different terms. But I think for most of the season, they have been pretty well in the bottom five in percentage on three-point shots. It's been a season-long thing.
I wonder how Alex Abrines' minutes are going to progress throughout the year along this theme. Because Abrines is now up to 37% from three on the year. And if you look at his numbers since that New Orleans game, basically over the last when I said New Orleans game, I mean the New Orleans game that was like, you know, mid to end of December, five and a half weeks ago, he's shooting in the mid-40s from three. Mm-hmm. He has been excellent at just as a three-point shooter. Now, there are other things that, you know, we saw him get torched a little by Kyrie Irving in that game, and he's got a lot that he needs to work on, but he is a good three-point shooter at this point. And I wonder if just how his minutes are going to trend. I know, all things being equal, Billy likes to go defense. And I know Billy will put guys in his rotation and take them out. And basically, if you're not one of his top four, top five guys, it's hard to be in the rotation consistently and get the same amount of minutes every single game. Really only like five guys who end up doing that. I wonder if Abrines, by the end of the year, if we get to like that last month of the year, not saying Abrines is going to get a ton of minutes, but I wonder if he's going to get consistent minutes. I wonder if we're just going to see him like, all right, we can pencil Alex Abrines in for 18 to 22 minutes tonight, no matter what else is happening.
Yeah, and that's definitely one, too, where Billy will, like, I remember the Minnesota game, and he only played 4 minutes that game. When he was put in, it looked like he was overwhelmed that game. And so, you know, Billy didn't go to him the rest of the game. He only logged a little under 8 minutes yesterday. But then other games, I mean, he is getting, you know, between 13 and 18. And I think that's good for him the rest of the season. Again, as long as it's not a game where he's put out there and immediately, you know, looks like that he's going to get, you know, physically overwhelmed at the game.
Right. Right. I mean, look, he's a 22-year-old rookie. People freak out about his playing time and that kind of stuff. I'm not necessarily saying that Billy Donovan has handled his minutes wrong. I actually don't think he has. I think Billy is cautious with rookies. And I think in a lot of some ways, like, look, I was in some ways critical about the way he put Cameron in and pulled him out last year and the way that he handled Cameron Payne's minutes when he was a rookie last year. So, different rookies are different. But look, Alex Abrines is a 23-year-old now, I guess, who was, you know, a second-round pick. And he's showing flashes of being a useful NBA player. And I understand if Billy wants to, you know, like he was getting hurt by Kyrie at the same time. He doesn't necessarily need to be on Kyrie on some of those possessions. So there were certain things where I get it. He's getting overwhelmed. You pull him. But I wonder if in like a month, he's not that he's going to all of a sudden get so good that he's not these flaws aren't going to exist. You know, maybe you can handle him a little bit on defense. He's skinny, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm not saying those flaws aren't going to exist, but I wonder in a month if the Thunder are going to be desperate enough for shooting that Donovan is willing to overlook them and give him an extra 5 to 7 minutes and see how that goes. Because if he ends up shooting 40% from three, that's value for them. You know, that is value. And maybe, you know, Billy's tried three guard lineups, right? He's tried since Cam came back, he has tried Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, and Cameron Payne. Like, I wonder if he tries that with Alex Abrines. Is Alex Abrines that much different defensively than Cameron Payne guarding a two? Like, is that such a difference defensively for you? I know Abrines is skinny and not the fastest guy in the world, but Cameron Payne's also skinny and not the fastest guy in the world. I wonder if those are lineups that Billy is willing to try. And if Abrines is providing spacing and he's shooting well, and he's getting you those extra points from threes, I wonder if he's going to end up getting some more minutes.
yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for all the reasons you mentioned. And I also wonder, too, if, you know, Cam isn't getting some of these minutes now because he needs that on-floor conditioning, or, you know, maybe they just need opportunities to see what they have, or maybe another team wants to see what he can do. But, I mean, I'm kind of bringing that to the point of it'll be interesting to see after the trade deadline, whether it's a small trade or a big trade that's made with this team. Is there something that happens there?
Or
that
no could trade.
Very well, or no trade. I still think that is on the – still think that is a distant possibility. I still think some kind of a move is going to be made. But could something happen there that actually, you know, brings in someone else that's a little more defensive-minded off the bench that allows Donovan to play – Ibrinas, those kind of minutes you mentioned.
Right, right. Yeah, and that guy could be a few different people. The thing is, like, they're deep, like, relatively deep in terms of number of guys they have as big men, but, like, with Kanter getting hurt, I mean, you could see them saying, all right, if there's a big on the market who has good value, go for it. You know, you could obviously see them saying if there's a wing on the market with good value, you could obviously see them saying go for it in that. With the way that, like, Cameron Payne or Samaje Christen are playing, like, if there's another guy who could play the one and the two or something like that, and they say if there's a guy in the market, like, Sam Presti is going – there's one thing that I can promise you. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know who they're going to trade for. I don't know if they're going to make a trade. I don't know. People ask me all the time, what are the Thunder going to do? I don't know.
You refuse to tell them, Fred. That's what it is.
Exactly. I don't know what they're going to do, but one thing that I feel pretty confident in saying is that their mentality is not, okay, we're one piece away from this goal. Whether this goal is one piece away from getting a higher playoff seeding or one piece away from winning a playoff series or winning two playoff series or whatever it is, whatever they think they're at, they're not thinking along the lines of we're one piece away from reaching this point. They're still at the point of roster building where they're thinking, okay, how can we exploit market inefficiencies? Where can we find value? And if they find value, I think that's a deal they're going to consider making. But I don't think they're going to go out there and put something on the wrist so that they can just bring in a wing, because I don't think they're looking at this roster and saying, all right, you know, we're a wing and a defensive and shooting wing away. Why did I just call a 3-and-D guy a defensive and shooting wing? I don't think they're looking at this and saying we're a 3-and-D guy away from, you know, reaching the second round or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We're a 3-and-D guy away from challenging for a top four seed. I don't think that's the logic that's moving around the organization. I don't think that's how they think. And I think the way that they think is the smarter way to think. It's just not going to appease a lot of fans in the short term. Might in the long term, and they won't look back in 3 years and give them that credit if it does work in the long term. But I do think that thought process is how pretty much all the smart organizations, it's how pretty much all smart businesses tend to think.
Yeah. I mean, look around the NBA and look for not so smart ways to think. They're typically towards the bottom of the standings. So, I think clearly if an all-star came on the market and if the Thunder had the pieces to make it work, sure, they'll go and do that. It takes a whole lot of stars and planets coming together in alignment before that actually happens. So, like you mentioned, I mean, look back at the past couple of trades they made, you know, plucking Jeremy Grant from Philadelphia, even going back to Joffrey Laverne, picking him up off Denver. It's that sort of opportunistic mindset. And it's not that, you know, like you said, this is the trade that, you know, gets us past the second round and into the conference finals. They're definitely, I think everyone, hopefully everyone understands that short of a lopsided deal with Cleveland or Golden State, the Thunder are not winning a title this season. Hopefully people understand that. But there's some makings here of this team being really competitive starting next year, the year after, if the right moves are made, not panic moves.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, I just want to make it clear. I'm not saying the Thunder won't trade for a big name. I'm just saying that that's not the goal. That's not – if they do – I'm not even talking about the type of player they're going to try to bring. I'm talking about the thought process that will be behind whatever trade they make, regardless of what that trade is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think people can convolute those two things. And certainly basketball Twitter comes after you and says, hey, they're one wing away from getting a guy. Why don't they go get fill in the blank?
Mm-hmm. like you're going to the grocery store. You know, why don't they just go get a head of lettuce? Oh, okay. It reminds me so much of the story that I read years ago about who's Mr. Starbucks that bought the Sonics and sold the Sonics? Howard Schultz. The story is that they were on, he was on his way back from New York from the meeting where, you know, it was approved that he bought the Sonics, blah, blah, blah. And then he turned around to someone and said, okay, now we need to go get Kevin Garnett. I mean, just like matter of factly, like when we get back home, why don't you make that call and get Kevin Garnett for us? And like, it just doesn't work like that. It just, you know, no amount of persuading or begging is going to make another team necessarily just bow to your wishes.
Yeah, this stuff is not as easy as getting John Hamm on your podcast.
Which can be challenging at times, but yeah, exactly. It feels like a lot of times like that fantasy football mindset has kind of crept in because it's real easy to just, you know, text a trade proposal to your buddy and, you know, boom, a trade is made. But, you know, this is sort of like I like the banking industry, you know, trading mortgages with one another, right? There's a whole, it's even more than that because there's actual human beings and how they interact with each other. That whole process should be considered, unless you're the New York Knicks, but, or the Chicago Bulls. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So much.
Oh man. The Bulls, man.
Oh my goodness.
That is out of control. You know what the best part, you know what my favorite part of Rondo's Instagram is? Well, I have two favorite parts. I'm not sure which one is my favorite. My first favorite thought is that he's blasting two stars on his team for airing out their grievances to the media, and he's doing it on social media.
that was the irony you could not ignore.
And he's very clearly an incredibly intelligent human being. And
no doubt.
Has to see the irony, right?
Right.
Like, even Alanis Morissette is like, I'm going to write a song about that. And the other thing is that that post was so well written.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. When you write an Instagram post, he probably did that on his phone. And yeah, that was so well written. That was well written enough to where I was like, look, everyone talks about how Rondo is like the smartest person in the NBA and how bright of a dude he is. And I'm sure he is because everyone who's ever met him says it. So obviously it's true. And then you read something like that and you're like, oh, this guy's obviously really smart. Look how, like, this is like a poem. It's so well written. But here's the thing. When you write, you write. You're a writer. I'm a writer. When you write something, and then you go back and you edit, and you move stuff around, and you edit, right?
Yep.
He did that on his phone. So did he type that out in one thing? Or is Rajon Rondo sitting there on his phone being like, you know what? I have to annoyingly cut and paste this thing to another spot on my Instagram caption. Because it's not like he wrote it somewhere and then copied and pasted it in or did it on his computer where he could easily do it. Was he sitting there on his phone actually like cutting and pasting paragraphs and sentences because they thought they would look better in other spots? Because that's true dedication if that's the case.
No doubt. He could have been using like the Notes application.
But like, even so, it's still total pain. Total pain on the phone.
Yeah, it's still very much a pain. Yeah, I've had to go in and, you know, like tweak out articles on my phone because I'm not nearby a computer. And that's a challenge. It's a huge challenge. So yeah, very, very underrated aspect of the Rajon Rondo rant.
This is why this is the tough journalism stuff that I think of. That is the first question I would have asked Rondo if I covered the Bulls. There's the absolute first question I would ask Rondo.
Can you break down the writing of the post and how you went about that? And
yeah, I mean, I would do that. I would 100%.
We need to know this.
Did you use thumbs or fingertips for this one? We need to know. Just need to know.
Do you have an external keyboard, Bluetooth, or was it just all on the glass?
Oh, maybe he used external keyboard on his iPad.
Could have.
That's possible because no one's going to Instagram.com.
Right.
No one is doing that.
No.
The only people who are going to Instagram.com are like my parents. Like if my parents were on Instagram, they would go to Instagram.com. You know, that's how they would access it.
Then wasn't the picture a picture of Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, it was him with Garnett and Pierce.
Okay, so did he have that saved to his photo library? Or did he actually, like, go Google that picture, find the one he wanted, and then saved it, and then typed it all up?
What a life you can live when you can just be like, I wish I had a photo of myself for an Instagram. And I'd be like, you know what? I'll just Google one of the millions out there. What a wonderful life to live.
Yeah, not bad.
Very Instagram-friendly life. What do you have to plug before you go? We talked about radio stuff. Anything at Bleacher Report?
Nothing immediately on the horizon. We'll be looking at some angles this week. The Thunder actually have some home games coming up, so you know, that'll help matters. So yeah, I'm sure I'll be crafting something this week, and you know, hopefully get something out soon.
All right, awesome. Before we go, if you have questions or comments or anything like that, you can email me at lockedonthunder@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at Fred Katz. John, you're John M. Ham.
That is right.
John, J-O-N, not J-O-H-N.
I spell it correctly, yes.
And I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. You can head out to iTunes, subscribe to Lock on Thunder. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next to the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Thunder play in San Antonio on Tuesday night. I'll be podcasting from my hotel room in San Antonio on Tuesday night, just like I'm doing from my hotel room on Monday afternoon. And until then, Lock on Thunder is locking up.